Good morning. Glad that you are here to worship with us this morning on this beautiful Sunday. It's kind of rainy, but it feels good. Hey, it's not 100 degrees, right? So, amen for that. A couple of announcements. Want to, first of all, remind you about Fall Fest. Today, it is happening, rain or shine. If we have to move it in, we'll move it in, but it's going down here at Asbury tonight. So show up. It's going to be from 4 to 6, and it's there's going to be crafts and games and food and just a great time of fellowship with your church family and hopefully some surrounding neighbors who will come. Stone Soup, 1 p.m. today. If you've never taken part in this, be sure and get with Greg Stansel and go with them today. I'm sure they're going to meet here at the church and go to Stone Soup. What it is they're going to be feeding the needy. And having worked at a homeless shelter, I can tell you that this is the time of year when they need help. You know, it's the end of the month, so if they are getting any kind of assistance, that assistance is gone now. And, you know, it's getting colder outside, there's just all kinds of factors that go into it. So the numbers are just going to continue to grow and grow this time of year. And so if you want to take part in an amazing ministry and be the actual hands of Jesus Christ, this is a ministry that you can do that in. Also want to remind you that today is Commitment Sunday, and at the end of the service, during the last song, we'll invite you to come. There's little baskets down here that you can place your commitments in, and then if you want to, you can stop and you can pray for those commitments. If you have lost or have not received a commitment stewardship packet, if you'll look there in the back, if you'll raise your hand, we have some nice gentleman there that will bring you one to your seat. You don't even have to give up. Get up. You don't have to give up. Don't give up, please. But if you'll raise your hand, they will bring one of those to you if you do not have one with you. You can do that at this time. Not all at once. All right, there's a couple of hands going up. That's all I have. Attendance pad, as always, you'll see those being passed out. If you're new and joining us this morning, and you think, this is a little odd. Are they taking attendance? What is this? Are we in elementary school? It's just a way that we can keep up with you during the week, know that you are here. We can lift you up in prayer during the week. That's all that is. So please feel comfortable in filling out your information on that form. Again, we are so glad you're here. We want to invite you to stand. We want to invite you to be relaxed and comfortable in this place. You are free to worship here. And we invite you to do so. But before we do that, I want you to turn around. I want you to shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, let them know you're happy to see them this morning.
Bow down, and the seas will roar at Never fails. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love.
Sing that again.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains, one thing, Lord, one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me.
Sing that out this morning.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me.
You believe that's true this morning?
Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Seat.
All right, come on down, kids. Here, I'm going to sit there. All right, I have something for you. I'm going to pass out a piece of gum. But as I'm passing it out, I got to tell you, don't chew it. Just hang on to it. All right, Hope's going to pass out a piece of gum for everybody. And don't chew it. Now, I want you to imagine, what do you think it tastes like? Strawberry, peppermint? We don't know, do we? Well, I want you to imagine that this gum is like more important than normal gum. It's like really important for you to get by in life, to live. Maybe it's like money or food. Now imagine, as you're not chewing your gum, that it's your last piece of gum. All right, now imagine that your best friend just asked you if they could have that piece of gum. What do you think you would do? Split it? That's a good answer. Well, you know, there's a story in the Bible, thank you, of a very poor woman who went to church and she had very, very little money and she gave it all to God. And Jesus told his disciples, this woman has given more than others. Even though she didn't give as much money, her gift was bigger because she gave everything she had and she really didn't have very much to give and she needed it. Thank you, Tony. And that made God very happy because that was a lot that she gave. And in the Bible, it talks about, there's a scripture that talks about giving. And we're going to read that. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And it says, each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Listen to this part. For God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, if we're happy to give, that really makes God happy. And sometimes that's hard to do, right? If we really want to hold on to something, it's hard to give it away, but we can pray about that. And so let's say a little prayer about that right now. Dear God, we know you want us to give happily, so please help us do just that. Thank you for giving us things that we can give away. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I got a challenge for you. If you want to, I invite you to now take your piece of gum. And Van has opened his up, but he hasn't chewed it yet. And give it to somebody in the congregation. You can go do that right now and then come back here. If you would like to, you can go give it to somebody in the congregation and then come back here. But just one piece. Hang on. Now, after you've given it away, come back. Hurry, come back. Some people in the congregation are very happy right now. They got an unexpected gift. All right, come back, come back. Now let me ask you, for those of you who gave away your piece of gum, I want you to clap if it made you happy to give it away. Clap. Now for those of you who were... Okay, you can stop. Now for those of you who were... sad to give it away, you can clap. All right, that's okay. Now, out in the congregation, if you were happy to get that piece of gum, you clap. Now, see, that's how God feels when we give him things. He feels that kind of happiness. And so, thank you. You did a great job today. And as we leave, we've already said our prayer, but I'm going to give out another piece of gum right over here. Thank you.
Thank you, Clark and children, for being the reminders to us of the importance of giving and running and playing and all the joy that's in worship. Let us go to our God in prayer. Most awesome and loving God, thank you. Thank you. You are so good. As we hear the patter of little feet, we are thankful for our children. As we hear one another's heartbeats, we are thankful for the gift of family. We're so very thankful for this church and the many ways that we have the opportunities to give. To give of ourselves, our resources, our energy, our time, our love. Father, there are those endless opportunities every day to give of our love and our energy to our families, our friends, the expectations at work, to our community, to our church. And Father, we admit there are times when we give less cheerfully. There are times when we give out of duty. There are times that we give when we're exhausted. But God, you're so good and so awesome that you lead the way in the example that we can give endlessly. And because you have created us so wonderfully, we have that depth within our beings to be rejuvenated and to give, yes, a little more. So in this moment, we thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord and Savior, who taught us through his life and his love how to give tirelessly, endlessly, lovingly. Father, we confess that there have been times this week, and there may be times today, when we fall short of that order of giving cheerfully. We also confess that we have hurt you as well as one another this week, and not being gracious, perhaps not being totally honest, perhaps just holding back when we should have been giving more. Forgive us, we pray, O God. We thank you for our salvation in Jesus Christ, who washes away those sins and those that will be committed, yes. Help us to keep our eye on the ball as we keep our eye on the cross, to love more and sin less. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, who taught us how to pray far better than I've prayed this morning. That beautiful and complete prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to invite our ushers to come forward, please don't forget to meet on the parking lot at 1 o'clock as we prepare to go to Stone Soup. If you can't be here right at 1 o'clock, if you know where Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church is downtown, they will appreciate your hands and your hearts as we offer again another fantastic ministry of the outreach of Asbury Church. Let us pray. Our God, our Father, we are offering these gifts to you with our prayers and with our trust, knowing that you will use these and that wondrous things will be done far beyond what we could do alone by ourselves. But together, our gifts multiply, and that is the miracle of generosity. So, Father, we pray these gifts would go now to your kingdom and the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your love.
this holy ground. You made a way for peace. Laying your body down. I took all rightful place. Our freedom song is marching on. Here is our white flag. We surrender all to you. All for you. We raise our white flag. The war is over. Love has come, your love has won. We raise our white flag, we surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag, the war is over. Love has come, your love. The cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high.
Sing that with us.
We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high. Cross lifted high, lifted high. We lift the cross lifted high, lifted high. We raise our white flag. We surrender all to you, all for you. We raise our white flag. The war is over. Love has come, your love has won.
Let's turn to our Bibles if you brought them, or follow along on the screens. And I have a piece of gum as my bookmark, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians this morning. The 9th chapter, verses 6 through 11. May the Word of God be your encouragement and your inspiration, as recorded in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. The point is this: he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that you may always have enough of everything and may provide in abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for great generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. I've always heard that your sense of hearing is the last thing to go. And so it was interesting to me to hear this true story of a professor from Yale who, in his last dying moments, did something unusual. His family had gathered around this incredible man. He had been such a cheerful person, such a joy to know. And so naturally, the family and friends were just brokenhearted that their loved one was about to pass. And they stood around his bedside, as you often do just beginning to mourn the coming passing of their friend. Tears began to stream down their faces. At one point during this last hour or so, he became extremely still. One of them that was gathered there said, "I think he's gone." And another relative close to the man kind of reached at the foot of the bed underneath the bed covers and felt his feet. And he said, "No, his feet are still warm. And, you know, if they're about to pass, well, no one that's going to die has warm feet." And I kid you not, this wonderful, beloved man shot straight up in the bed, looked everyone in the eye, and said, "Joan of Arc did." Chuckled a bit, closed his eyes, and died. I'm so proud of you all. You know your history better than the other group did. Isn't that wonderful, though? The man left his family and his friends in the same spirit and attitude that they had come to love and know all his life. That spirit and perspective of joy and of cheerfulness and, yes, of laughter even at the moment of death. I got to tell you, life's just too short for us to go around and be grumpy and grouchy and practice negativity. I mean, you might tell a negative story, it might get you a little bit of attention, but to me, the impression that lingers and lasts is they're kind of a sourpuss, aren't they? I'd been just fine if I hadn't heard that. And so Paul is reminding us of this life that is a gift to us and says we need to approach it cheerfully, even, perhaps most of all, in our giving. Let's explore a bit today's scripture about Paul who wrote this letter to the Corinthians. They're building a new church. It's down in Jerusalem. They need some extra capital for it. So Paul reaches out in a letter to the church at Corinth. It's already established. He knows their congregation. He believes in them. He knows their faithfulness. And so I want you to notice the approach that Paul takes. He doesn't high-pressure sales them. He doesn't do anything that's manipulative in any form or tactic. He just says very calmly to them, "We need your help." He writes, "Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Another translation puts it this way, "Everyone must make up their own mind as to how much they should give. Don't force anyone to give more than they really want to, for cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. And God is able to make it all up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others." Now, right away, you pick up on two key words as to what Paul is focusing upon as he reaches the people at Corinth. The first word is cheerful. The second word is joyful. God doesn't want us to give begrudgingly. God never wants you to feel coerced, manipulated, to feel like somebody's put the squeeze on you. For no one, not even God himself, really cares to receive a gift that's given in that spirit. When you give your gift to God, let it come from the heart. Because the first point I want to share this morning is give happily, joyfully, freely, willingly, the kind of gift that truly is a gift and not a duty. Many of us here in this room remember what it was like to pay just a dollar for a gallon of gas. Some of us remember a couple of decades, maybe three or four. No, not four. Three. I'm not that old. When ice cream cone was 15 cents. And so we remember living in small towns where you knew everyone and you would go to the drugstore and, yes, they had a soda fountain. And you would hop up on the little bar stool, just pan to It's a Wonderful Life if you don't have old enough to experience what I'm talking about. So this little boy did that very thing one day. He couldn't wait to go to the corner drugstore, hop up on the stool, and order his favorite dish. So he looked at the waitress, and he realized there was inflation even then. And he said, "How much for an ice cream sundae?" And she said, 50 cents. Now picture with me the little boy cramming his hand down his jeans pocket, rolling it out to where you see the lining and all, taking the change out and putting it out in front of him. And he says, "How much for just a plain dish of vanilla ice cream?" She said, 35 cents. With a tone that indicated she had more important customers to wait on, make up your mind so she can get on to them. So he ordered the plain dish of vanilla ice cream. He finished it up, and she had been waiting on others, and the little boy left. When she went by to pick up his empty dish, there beside that empty bowl was 2 nickels and 5 pennies. The waitress was overheard to say, "You know, I've gotten a lot of tips in my life, but none as precious as I received from that little boy of 2 nickels and 5 pennies. You see, he gave from the heart, and it went straight and gave a whammy to the waitress's heart. I think, secondly, gifts which come from the heart are the greatest examples of giving, are they not? Paul said it long ago, each one should give what he has decided to in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And the third point I'd just share this morning is, I think the act of giving really must be felt sacrificially. If you don't feel the gift leaving from you, is it not just a mere remembrance rather than actually giving up a part of you that you're giving? Many of us are familiar with the story in the New Testament of Jesus and the disciples sitting down on the steps, the inner part of the temple, and watching as different ones gave their money to the temple treasury. There were the ones with the fancy robes and obviously of great means who gave. And then Jesus quietly pointed out to this widow. You can picture her. Tiny frame, most likely dark or black cloak, with a fold in it where she could take out, yes, all that she had, 2 remaining coins to place in the temple treasury. And Jesus at this point says, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." I think clearly Jesus is trying to say, not only to the disciples then, but to all of us who follow him as disciples, that it doesn't matter the amount that you give, but the spirit in which you give it, that you feel a sacrifice in what you offer. If it's not sacrificial in nature, could it really be pleasing to God? There's a story of an old man who was riding a bus along a country road. And as he entered into the bus, he sat down very quiet with expectation of the trip he was about to take. He watched others board the bus, and this younger fella came in and asked if he could sit next to him, and the old gentleman said, well, of course. And so they took up a conversation and passed the miles. It was a great conversation. The old man learned from the young man that he was on his way to see his girlfriend, and he was excited because, you see, he'd been gone so long serving his country overseas. He began to tell the old man that he was really excited about seeing her because he planned to ask her to marry him. As they rode along, the old man reminisced about young love. What a happy time it was for him in his own life. And the young man looked down at the man and commented on this beautiful bouquet of flowers that he happened to be holding. And he said, are those for your sweetie? He said, yes, they are. She's very special indeed. Someone that has held my heart for years and years. Before you knew it, time had passed, and they had passed a couple of towns, chatting away, and suddenly, though, the bus stopped in the middle of the highway, and the older man said to the younger man, well, this is where I get off. But before I do, my friend, I'd like to give these to you. And he took that beautiful bouquet of flowers and laid it in the lap of the younger man. The younger man was flabbergasted and couldn't believe this generous gesture of the older man. And as he looked out and watched the older man get down off the steps of the bus and began to walk, and the bus began to roll away slowly, and he turned his neck and looked and kind of followed the older man, and he began to sob as he saw the older man walk through the gate of a cemetery where he was going to be visiting the grave of his wife. I think real giving always involves some element of sacrifice, because real giving always comes out of the heart and pours forth from that love that we hold in our hearts. And when we do that, when we give from our heart, when we give as if we feel a part of us leaving ourselves and going on to something greater than ourselves, greater than we could do by ourselves alone, I think when we combine those two things, God is so full of joy because we have honored and glorified God in a great way. And this morning, as we prepare to sing our last song, I hope that you have prayerfully filled out your commitment cards and that you dedicate them to God with a real sense of joy, a real sense of sacrifice. And as I close today, I'd like for you to join with me in renewing the vows we took when we became United Methodist Christians. Would you repeat after me? Will you be loyal to God in Christ Jesus? No, I want you to repeat this after me. I will be loyal to God in Christ Jesus. Through the United Methodist Church. With my prayers. With my presence. With my gifts, with my service, and with my witness. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and be prepared to sing.
sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. Lord of all creation, water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. I will celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Your majesty, you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, you're the Lord of heaven and earth.
Before I offer the benediction today, I just know that you rejoice with me as I invite the Whitlock family. Come on down. There we go. Jeff and Candace and Lakin and Anna Carol and Pate, and they're in Kids Club, I guess, right now. Yeah, yeah. And you all are coming by transfer of another United Methodist Church, St. Paul United Methodist Church here in Little Rock. So I know you want to welcome them because obviously we received their membership, received their baptism, and we're just so glad. They've been with us a while and proud of your commitment, and we're just thankful. Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
Officially. So I'll be inviting them to come and join me there at the door so you can be sure and give them your greetings as well. Please receive the benediction. And now the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this moment and forevermore. Amen.